Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ask them, are you rightly dividing the word of truth? You may be seated. You and I can make the Bible say anything we want to. I've had discourse and dialogue with people who are living lascivious lifestyles and lifestyles outside the context of marriage between one man and one woman. And they love to say, God is love, and so love is love. Whatever I choose to love, that logic is flawed. Not only is it flawed, it's dangerous. Because it doesn't just end with man loving man and woman loving woman. It ends with man loving dog and woman loving giraffes. And it goes to places that we don't want it to go. We've got to be very careful which domino we choose to tip over. Because sometimes the first domino isn't the dangerous one. It's the domino of the domino of the domino that it hits as it goes. And so the Word of God is a powerful thing in context. Out of context, it becomes very dangerous when we make it say things that it does not say. Bishop talks about somebody that I can't remember if he grew up with them or was in a church where they were, but they used to say, the Bible says over there somewhere. You're going to have to know better than the Bible says over there somewhere. You're going to have to be able to give some context. You're going to have to be able to give a scripture, a reference text, where it was said, who it was said to, why it was said. All of those things come in to play, which is why we study the Word of God. We don't just read the Word of God. It says study to show yourself approved, not read a chapter a day. Reading a chapter a day does not keep the doctor away. Reading a chapter a day does not keep the devil away. But those that study and meditate on the Word. I love meditate when you go beyond just the English word and you get into the Greek and Hebrew. It really means to digest. You know, a lot of the foods that taste good aren't the best for us. Come on now. And some of the things that we don't like the way they taste do the most for us. Because it's not what it tastes like that gives you strength. It's the digesting and the properties that it contains that you don't know it contains. One of my favorite things to eat is Texas Roadhouse Rolls. One of God's greatest gifts. They will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I guarantee you that. I will go there sometimes for the rolls because, honestly, their steaks aren't that good. And if you think they are, prove me wrong. Gift cards work well because I'll go eat the bread. But a lot of the things that I enjoy, that you enjoy eating, they don't have any nutritional value. And a lot of us treat the Word of God the same way. We have our three favorite things that make us feel good, and it's like ice cream. Come on now. It's like a slice of apple pie or a nice big slice of cheesecake, and we love the way that it tastes, but after it goes through our mouth, there's not really a lot of nutritional value there. There's a lot of things in the Word of God that when we take them out of context, and we love to eat them up and we love to shout about them, but when it comes time to digest and it comes time for the nutritional value, we really don't get what the Word of God has called us to get. And so there are so many people out there misinterpreting the Word of God, saying God said things that He simply did not say. We've covered a couple of those already. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and God helps those who help themselves. They sound good. Sometimes they might even preach good. They look good on your social media wall, but they're simply not true. We have to realize John 1:1, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. You have to realize that the Word is Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. For us to say that I don't need to read my Bible is for us to say I don't need to spend time with Jesus. And might I remind us that we are the bride of Christ. We are in relationship with God. Not only a relationship by definition, but there is a relationship with God that we are supposed to be producing something. And can I encourage you and let you know that we cannot produce the promises of the Bible outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So to misinterpret the word is to misidentify who Jesus is. If Jesus is the word and the word is Jesus, when we use the word out of context or we don't really understand the word, what is really happening is we are using Jesus out of context. Come on now. Means we are manipulating Jesus to make us feel some certain way, or we're manipulating Jesus to get more money in our bank account or make us feel better about our decision. And so to misinterpret the word is to misidentify Jesus. And if we misidentify Jesus, we cannot believe that we will receive his promise, because if Jesus is the word and the word contains the promises of Jesus, Jesus is the promise that contains all the other promises. So outside of Jesus, there is no promise. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about using the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that when we open our mouth and declare the word of God, we know what we're saying, we mean what we're saying, we have context with what we're saying, we're putting our feet down on a foundation of truth instead of half-truths or mistruths or misconceptions or cute cliches. Let's go to our third saying. This is the third thing I want to dive into tonight. We'll cover a couple of these tonight. To thine own self be true. This covers a lot of ground. We'll get to some of the other synonymous things that go with to thine own self be true. When prompting people to follow their conscience on matters, they often tout to thine own self be true. It is a terrible piece of advice. To thine own self be true, or to follow your heart. It is occasionally cited as a biblical recommendation. In truth, this saying originates with Shakespearean tragedy, Hamlet. So this is Hamlet 3:16, not John 3:16. And as much as you might enjoy Shakespeare, Shakespeare didn't save you. Shakespeare can't heal you. Shakespeare can't deliver you. And let's be honest, when you really read Shakespeare, it will depress you. It's a story about love that did not go the right way. It reads like the 10 o'clock news. Suicide and murder and love and all of these things with minor children, I will add. So where did this come from? Polonius, the older counselor of Prince Hamlet's uncle, King Claudius, is in the midst of dispensing advice to his son, Laertes, when he speaks forth the famous line, "This above all things, to thine own self be true," Hamlet 3:1-81. Among his platitudes, he also says things like, "Neither a borrow nor a lender be." Another mistaken for scripture phrase. But when you really take Polonius's advice to his family, we have to understand when we rightly divide the word of truth, we can only trust our conscience and our heart to guide us as far as it is being led or directed by the Holy Spirit. I cannot trust my heart. You cannot trust your heart. To thine own self be true is basically saying, if it feels good to you, do it. When the Bible says, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present. The Bible also says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Can I tell you that everything that feels good to your flesh is not your friend? Everything that makes you feel good is not your ally to get to where God has called you to be. Mankind, as a naturally created being, is entirely corrupt. You don't think mankind is corrupt? Watch the 10 o'clock news. I watched the 5 o'clock news. I had to turn it off after the first story. Man shot his wife, shot his next door or his across the street neighbor, then locked him in his own house and burnt the house down. That happened not 10 minutes from where we sit today. That is somebody who is not right here. And they're not right here because they're not right here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we've got people talking crazy and living crazy because their heart's not right. And somewhere along the line, they bought into the lie that as long as you think it's right, it's right. When at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what Brandon thinks. If it's against the word of God, then it is against God. If people ask you, well, what do you think about this situation? What do you think about this social issue? Should I ever get the chance on CNN or Fox? Brandon, what do you think about homosexuality? What do you think about abortion? My answer will always be the same thing. It doesn't matter what Brandon thinks. What does the word of God say? Because I learned a long time ago, I'm not going to let Brandon's flesh, I'm not going to let Brandon's heart rule his life. I'm going to let the word of God and the Holy Spirit govern my life and lead my life. And when it leads me, the Bible says it will not lead me into a place of temptation. It will literally lead me to a place of promise, into a place of promised land that I can possess. So to hold true to thyself would be to choose poorly. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You cannot trust your heart until your heart has been recreated like God's, which is what happens when we are saved. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When someone says to follow your heart, it's the worst advice they could give you. Following your heart leads to multiple divorces. If I would have let my heart pick my spouse, I would probably be on my 8th spouse right now. If I let my heart determine where I was going to live, what I was going to do with my life, it would not be standing on a platform preaching the word of God today. It would not allow me to raise a family in the church and in the things of God, because my heart does not know what it's supposed to do. Only God knows. And so until my heart is replaced with his heart, I cannot trust it. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9-10 in the Message Bible. I love the way it says this here. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. Listen to this last line. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. If God gets to the root of our issue, and he gets to the heart, the real heart of our issue, he said, I deal with them where they are and who they really are, not who they pretend to be. That means that your heart can offer a facade, and your heart can manipulate and take forms and take emotions and take how you're feeling and make you do things or say things that you really don't mean. But how many of you know there's sometimes we make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions, and the emotions is a heart issue. Where we're leaning, what we like, where we're feeling at the time, and we make decisions that are contrary or damaging to where God has called us to be. Following your heart will lead to four things. Following your heart will lead you to desire the wrong things. Following your heart will lead you to pray the wrong prayers. You know, you can pray the wrong prayers. The great theologian Garth Brooks said, some of God's greatest gifts our unanswered prayers. We ought to take 15 seconds right now and just praise God that he did not answer every dumb prayer, every ignorant prayer. Come on now. Aren't you glad that God didn't give you her 20 years ago? Aren't you glad you've seen him on social media the last couple years? Aren't you glad God didn't give you that knucklehead? Aren't you glad that God didn't give you that job because he knew that it was going to go bankrupt? He knew that it was going to shut down. Aren't you glad that everything you didn't pray for, God didn't just blindly give it to you? So when our heart is right and we're not true to ourself, but we're true to God, he leads us to pray the right prayers. Following your heart will lead to pursuing the wrong things, wasting time chasing things that you're not supposed to have, wasting time chasing things you're not supposed to embrace and touch. And finally, following your heart will lead you to covenant with the wrong people, to join up, to unite with the wrong people, with the wrong relationships. And when you look at what God has called you to do, it can be derailed by wrong relationships. We might not be talking about spouses. We might just be talking about businesses. We might be talking about best friends and BFFs. But I'm here to tell you, if you let your heart do the picking, your heart is going to pick wrong. And I don't care who you are and what kind of anointing and God call you have on your life. I know some anointed people. I know some really anointed people that were robbed of what God was doing in their life because they let their heart pick their friends. They let their heart pick their spouses. Come on, church. That's why I got Roman with me today to keep me safe. I know this is a hard truth and a hard saying, but some of us have been robbed of the good things of God. Some of us have been robbed of the timing of God because we have let our heart choose the things around us. We've let our heart choose the people around us. But I'm here to tell you, when you got saved, you got the heart of Jesus. Don't live with the old heart. Don't live with the old mentality. Let Jesus do his best work. Rather, we should seek God in prayer and ask him to guide us in the paths of righteousness, which David would write in Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So what the Bible doesn't say is to thine own self be true. What the Bible does say is this in Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. What the Bible does say in Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's time that we start being true to the Spirit of God, not the pliable heart of man, not to do what we feel like and I'll do it when I want to and how I want to. All of that is a very childish approach to your relationship with God. You remember what it was like to be newly married, especially as a young person. Mandy and I had a lot of tough times that first year, 18 months, 2 years, because she was 17, I was 21. I moved from my parents' house, she moved from her parents' house, and we got put in a 1,200 square foot house, and it was a rude awakening. And she tried to act certain ways to get me to do things, and I tried to act certain ways to get her to do things, and we did not realize that that's not how a relationship works. And there's a lot of us that are stamping our foot and we're throwing a fit and we're trying to get God to do things because we're emotional. Can I tell you that emotional Christians are sometimes the Christians that receive the least amount from God because we're always throwing tantrums in the spirit because we have not got what we wanted to get, when we wanted to get it, and how we wanted to get it. And you might not throw your tantrum on Sunday morning, but you sure do on Wednesday morning, on Friday night. Come on, God, why didn't you do this? Come on, God, it feels like you're not talking to me. Come on, God, it feels like you're not listening. Come on, God, it feels like they're being blessed and I'm not being blessed. And I go to church twice as much as they go to church. And I'm sure I give more than they give. And I'm a part of 3 ministries. They're only a part of 2 ministries. And so we start having these tantrums and God's saying, you got to get rid of the old heart. That's not me. That's not me talking. That's not me feeling. That's not me here. That's not who I am. It's amazing in a relationship how much you start acting like the other one. Believe it or not, you are looking at a kinder, more gentler Brandon Fender. The last 16 years with Mandy has helped me. She is a person of love, preaches love, talks love, shows love. I've become more like her in 16 years, but let me tell you something. She's become a whole lot more like me in 16 years. The nice, polite little Mandy that would let you walk all over her at 17 years of age, she doesn't exist anymore. When she had kids, she turned into Mama Bear. She don't put up with much anymore. She became like me, I became like her. Now, we know God doesn't become like us because he already became flesh once. But what we do in our relationship with God is we're not true to our own self. We are true to who God is. And so as a Christian, we are to be Christ-like. And let me encourage you with this, church. You're supposed to look like Jesus more today than you did yesterday. We're supposed to sound like Jesus more in April than we did in March. And if you are not or have not, you're not doing it right. The more you spend time with someone, the more you pick up their traits. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know that what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can I encourage you as a church to pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Holy Ghost when nobody's listening. Pray in the Holy Ghost when everybody's listening. After you've exhausted your Spanish, after you've exhausted your English and your Portuguese, you ought to just, why are you doing that? Because my heart is wicked. I know what my heart wants to do. I know my heart gets hurt. I know my heart gets offended. I know my heart gets heavy. But if I speak in the Spirit, it means I'm led of the Spirit. It means I'm praying for things that I don't even know that are in front of me. I'm praying against principalities that are happening around me. And so excuse me if I don't want to be true to Brandon. I want to be true to the Spirit. I want to be true to the God that has given me my life and life in abundance. I encourage you to get a faith declaration, but I encourage you to pray in the Holy Ghost just as much as you pray in English. You pray in English over what you know. What we know is very limited. What we don't know is infinite. So when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I am now praying to an infinite being about infinite things. I'm praying about things that go so far beyond the earthly realm. See, when I pray in English, I'm praying over my family. I'm praying over my money. I'm praying over my ministry. I'm praying over this church. I'm praying over our leadership. But when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying against spiritual attacks. I'm praying about things that are being unleashed in heaven to this earth. I'm praying against the gates of hell, that they will not prevail against me, the church, and you, the church. And so we ought to pray in the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, not after your heart. Well, you should just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Just follow your passion. Don't follow your passion. David followed his passion. He ended up with Bathsheba. Samson followed his passion. Ended up with no eyes, grinding in the mill. Don't follow your passion. Follow the Spirit. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Spirit. Well, what does your gut say? It's not your gut. It's the Spirit of God. My gut tells me to go to Pizza Hut after church. That's what my gut tells me. My gut tells me to go have a banana split at Dairy Queen on the way home. That's what my gut says. But the Spirit of God says, Brandon, those things are temporary. Let's dig into the eternal. Let's dig into the spiritual part of you. Do not follow your heart and your passion. It's going to lead you off course. Follow the Spirit. Then I say, walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what doesn't go to heaven? Your heart. You know what does go to heaven? Your spirit. You know why I know your spirit goes to heaven? Because it's already there. You ever think about that? Your spirit cannot be contained in a body. Come on now, church. You got the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It is so much bigger than us. It is so much bigger than planet Earth. It's right here in me. It's working in my future. It's in hell. It's everywhere I need it to be. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Which means if we sin, we got out of the Spirit. You know one of the things we love to quote in the Bible? John on the Isle of Patmos. It was on the Lord's day and I got in the Spirit. My question is, why do we get out of the Spirit? Why is the only time we get in the Spirit when the LED walls lit up and they sing our favorite two songs? Why is the only time we get in the Spirit when we're under attack? Why not live in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. Exist in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Going on to verse 25 in the same chapter, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So it's not to thine own self be true. It's not follow your passion, follow your heart. It's live by the Spirit of God. Be governed by the Spirit of God. Choose the job the Spirit wants. Choose the spouse the Spirit wants. Choose the city the Spirit wants you to live in. Choose your investments based on what the Spirit gives you guidance and instruction to do. I will tell you what right now. If there's two ways for you to go to your job tomorrow, listen to the Spirit as to which way you should go, because it just might keep you out of a car accident, or it just might keep you on time and not have to sit at a train somewhere. You say, does the Spirit? The Spirit will lead you in everything in life. Let's go to number four. My time's up, but I love this one. Gotten a lot of messages about this. Number four, thing we hear all the time out of context. This too shall pass. This too shall pass is the phrase that people use when they don't know what to say. They pat you on the back. This too shall pass. Where did this come from? This came from not the Bible, not anywhere in the Bible. Trials and difficult circumstances are difficult to bear, and we all hear people say it'll be all right, things will get better, this too shall pass. The origin of this saying, there's a lot of places that it could come, but one of the earliest references is from an old English poem called Dior, A.D. the 10th century, about 4,000 years ago. In the poem, the ex-minstrel Dior laments recently losing his position of a poet to the king. In his lamentation, he compares himself to a number of heroes from folklore who experienced some trouble or other, always ending with the saying that Dior was hopeful would apply as well as to his own present difficulty. That passed, and so may this, or this too shall pass. An adequate question for the believer is to ask this question: but how biblical is this? Not very biblical. Really, we should be focusing on the promise that awaits for those of us who believe. Not in the present struggle. If we simply take heart in the temporary end of an earthly struggle or trial, we are finding comfort in the wrong thing. I don't have comfort in the fact that my trial is going to end. I take comfort in the fact that there is a God that walks with me through the trial, which means this: the phrase should not say, and this too shall pass. The phrase should be, this thing was meant by the adversary to be forever in my life. It may not pass, but I will pass, because I'm not staying right here in this situation. I'm not going to stay sick. I'm not going to stay broke. I'm not going to stay depressed. I'm not going to stay possessed. I'm not going to stay in a dead-end job. I'm not going to stay around people that are tearing me down. This did not come to pass. The devil does not hit you and then leave. The devil will bring all hell against you to keep you where you're at. But I'm telling you, as for me in this house, we're not stopping where the devil wants us to stop. This thing didn't come to pass, but by God, I came to pass through everything that the devil has meant and thrown in my way to stop me. Give me two more minutes. This might not pass, but I will. What the Bible doesn't say, this too shall pass. What the Bible does say, 1 John 2:17, and the world will pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These things that you face today by the adversary were meant to keep you locked in to this season of your life forever. But the Bible declares that this world and the lust thereof, it will pass. But let me tell you something, it doesn't just go away. But you can boldly walk through any fire. You can boldly walk through any temptation. You can bolt. You say, how the word of God. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. I said it 2 weeks ago. You put the word of God in you when you don't need it, and it will be there when you do need it. You don't just get the word and put it in your back pocket. You get the word, hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God, and then you work the word. You work the word against cancer. You work the word against lack. You work the word against lust. You work the word against drug addiction. You work
the word against anything that rises up against you. Those things were sent to derail you. Those things were sent to retard your progress. Those things were sent to stop you dead in your tracks. But I've come to tell somebody today, you're stronger than you thought you were. Don't think of yourself as how you used to be. You've got a God that loves you. You've got a word that is founded in you and that you're standing on today. And those things that have come against you did not come to pass, but you have enough power because of the Holy Spirit to pass through them. Stand on your feet. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. When it says heaven, it's not talking about the heaven that he's creating. It's talking about the heavens. It's talking about our world will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. So what does that mean? Do I put my faith in something that is temporal, or do I put my faith into something that is eternal? Do I put my faith in something that will not stand, or do I put my faith? Here is a secret that Jesus has given us, that anything that you put your faith in that's in heaven, under heaven and in the earth, it will not last. Meaning it could work for 3 months, 3 years, but it's not going to work for eternity. Listen, when you start talking about forever, and I'm talking about forever, Sandlot, forever. I'm not dealing in the realm of maybe, might, I hope it works. I'm building my life on the thing that will not pass, which is the word of God. Finally, 2 Corinthians 5:17, talking about the things that pass. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. This too will pass. No. I don't care if it stays or passes, because I'm not going to stay here. This time tomorrow, I will not be in this predicament. This time next month, I won't have the same doctor's report as I have right now. I know that can't. Listen. The devil did not send cancer to pass. He sent it to stay. And so your choice as a believer is you can stay in cancer, or you can move out of it. The devil did not send poverty to pass. Well, let's make him broke for 3 months. Let's see how he does with that. When he came against Job, he wanted that to last forever. He wanted that to take Job out. But Job said, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to build a tent. I'm not going to build a house. This is not where I dwell. I'm talking to somebody today before I open up this altar right now, that you've been living in hell the last 2 or 3 months, maybe the last 2 or 3 years. And people have given you coddling advice that this too will pass, and just hold on just a little bit longer. I'm not telling you to hold on. I'm telling you to get up and leave that place. Walk straight into the arms of God. Let the Spirit lead you out of that place today. Those things were not designed to pass, but you were designed to pass through, pass over, go around, whatever you need to do, but you're not going to stay here. If that's you tonight, I need you to step out of your seat, come down the aisle to the altar, and I need you to pray the prayer of faith tonight. I don't know what you're fighting, but I do know this. You didn't come. You didn't come here tonight to stay the same way. God is pulling on your heart. God is pulling on your spirit, saying, now's the time. Step out. Now's the time. I know what you're facing is tough. I know what you're facing doesn't seem fair, and people have given you advice that has not helped. All it has done is help you get through a couple hours in the day. But I've not come to give you a word that's going to encourage you for a moment. I've come to give you the word of God that is going to encourage you from here through heaven in the name of Jesus. God bless you, Stephanie. Come on, my friend. Come on.